This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Julia Jacobs, together with Kelly Anissa and Lim Soo Ann today. And earlier, we were discussing the dangers facing one of the rarest apes in the world, the Tapanuli Nui ape. But now we're turning our attention to sleep. And over on Twitter, we're asking you something about that.
Yep. So we're asking you, how many hours of sleep do you get in a night? So 18% of you have voted less than 5 hours, and then the majority of you have voted 66% of you voted 5 to 7 hours, 13% of you voted 7 to 9 hours, and 3% of you voted more than 10 hours.
I envy you 3% so much.
Yeah. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-77-33-2900 for any of your thoughts on sleep myths.
Yep. So let's get straight into that story.
Yeah. So researchers are now saying that there are myths that we've been accustomed to for years about sleep are actually damaging our health and our mood. And, you know, that's not all. It can even shorten our lives. So that was what researchers at New York University's Langone Health School of Medicine found in their latest study about sleep, which they published in the journal Sleep Health. So the lead investigator, Dr. Rebecca Robbins, said that there is such a link between good sleep and a person's waking success. But more on that in a bit.
So Robbins, along with her colleagues, combed through 8,000 websites to find the most common claims about sleep and so-called healthy sleep habits. So the results of this search of the sleep myths was then presented to a handpicked team of sleep medicine experts. And this was, of course, done to see which of these claims actually matched scientific evidence. And from the results that were presented, the sleep experts then determined which were myths, and they were also ranked by degree of falsehood and importance to health.
And so we'll get into what some of those sleep myths were, but first we spoke to a registered polysomnographic technologist and sleep specialist, Amy Ho, about her thoughts on this. And, you know, what is the connection between good sleep and a person's waking success? Here is a clip from that interview earlier today. So where do you think this misconception stemmed from, and why did it why did it take us so long to debunk them?
Well, as usual, people need black and white studies that actually says that you need to have a certain amount of sleep available, because people think that as long as they are able to function in their work environment day to day, they can sleep as little as possible. But in the US, in the UK, there are so many research studies show that we should have at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep every day so that the body can function normally. Little than that, less than 5 hours or more than 10 hours sleep, then we would tend to get more accidents, and then our body functions tend to deteriorate. We tend to get sick more often.
And so the lead study investigator said that there is such, there is a link between good sleep and our waking success. Could you elaborate on the connection here? You know, why is sleep so important besides, as the study said, it can cause cardiovascular diseases. Why is it important for our waking success?
Well, getting a good quality sleep entails us that when we wake up in the morning, we'll feel fresh, energetic. We are able to concentrate on the tasks that we are doing. And at the same time, our body functions work optimum level. When we get less sleep, we tend to be distracted. We tend to be forgetful. And of course, our anger levels go up. So we get more angrier, unfocused, and tend to get more accidents when we're not having enough sleep.
And can this so-called damage that we sustain from, you know, these unhealthy sleeping habits, can they ever be undone? Is there such a thing as sleep debt?
Oh, yes. It can be undone within the next sleep stage that we have, within 24 hours, as long as we can pay back the sleep that we deprive. Because children would tend to have a faster response towards sleep debt. But adults will take some time to actually retrain their routine, because right now they have bad sleeping habits and they tend to delay sleep, so like insomnia cases. So some of them will take some time to establish a routine bedtime protocol.
And so when we talk about sleep depth, for example, we are it's for example, say if I were to go for the next 3 days with only 4 hours of sleep. So you mean that, let's say the following day, if I were to sleep for 9 hours for the next few days, that somewhat compensates the lack of sleep I've had. Is that it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, for one night of sleep that we missed, the body will actually take approximately 2 to 3 nights to recover for adults.
Okay, I see.
Children will tend to recover faster.
That was Amy Ho, a registered polysomnographic technologist and sleep specialist. And now let's look at some of the myths that the study debunked. The first one is that, you know, you can cope on less than 5 hours of sleep. That is actually not true. We are supposed to get between 7 to 10 hours of sleep every night, depending on your age, of course. However, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that a third of Americans sleep fewer than that. The World Sleep Day statistics also showed that sleep deprivation is threatening the health of up to 45% of the global population. So Dr. Robbins said that there is extensive evidence to show that sleeping 5 hours or less consistently actually increases your risk for health issues such as cardiovascular diseases and premature mortality. And in 2007, a study on 10,308 British civil servants found that those who reduced their sleep from 7 to 5 hours or fewer at night were almost twice as likely to die from all causes, especially cardiovascular disease. So science has actually linked poor sleep habits with weight gain, a lack of libido, paranoia, depression, and a higher risk of diabetes, stroke, dementia, and even some cancers.
Yep, and the study also found that having a nightcap before bed is also a myth. This is regardless of whether that's a glass of wine, whiskey, or even a bottle of beer. According to Dr. Robbins, while it may help you fall asleep, it dramatically reduces your quality of sleep for the rest of the night. So having a nightcap particularly disrupts your rapid eye movement, or REM as we know it, stage of sleep. And REM is very, very important for memory and learning. So even though you're getting your sleep, you will be missing out on some of the benefits.
And there is also that misconception that, you know, watching TV in bed will help you relax, you know, which I think a lot of people do nowadays. Mm-hmm. And the main issue with TV or even your smartphones and tablets is that they produce blue light. And this blue light can actually delay the body's production of the sleep hormone melatonin, which, you know, helps you sleep.
Yep, yep. And I'm sure that most of you do this next one as well. And that's, if you're struggling to sleep, that you should stay in bed. That is actually the exact opposite of what you should be doing. According to Dr. Robbins, this will lead to us associating our bed to insomnia. And it should take a healthy sleeper about 15 minutes to fall asleep. And if it takes you any longer than that, you should get out of bed and change the environment and do something that's essentially mindless.
So Dr. Robbins actually suggested that we fold socks so we get sleepy.
Yes, yeah. Doing laundry always puts me, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, just true. I mean, but last but not least, the myth about how snoring is always harmless. So, well, actually snoring can be harmless, but it can also be a sign of sleep apnea. This disorder causes the walls of the throat to relax and narrow during sleep, and that can briefly stop people from breathing. So people with the condition are more likely to develop high blood pressure, an irregular heartbeat, have a heart attack or stroke. And of course, one of the warning signs of sleep apnea is indeed loud snoring. So speaking of sleep apnea, don't forget to tune in to today's Health and Living show at 4 p.m. We will be discussing about obstructive sleep apnea in children with Dr. Priyadarshini Velayutham, and she is a pediatric ENT and ENT specialist, and Dr. Norzila Mohammad Zainuddin, who is a pediatric respiratory physician. So, I mean, I'm just curious, which one of these are you guys guilty of?
I would say if I'm struggling to sleep, that I stay in bed, I play on my phone. Yeah, all of that.
I think all of us play with our phone before we go to sleep.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I know I use my phone a lot before I sleep. It is the last thing I see or touch right before I go to bed. It is the first thing like I do when I wake up from bed.
Hey, me too. I turn off my alarm and I say, oh, I have a message. That's how it starts the vicious cycle.
Exactly. And I think the other one, of course, is that, you know, coping on whatever sleep I can get. I mean, I speak often of my child, and you know, she disrupts my sleep a lot, and it's very, very hard. I mean, when you have a baby or a toddler, running around, and they just disrupt your sleep and you can't do anything about it, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, and reading about, you know, having less than 5 hours of sleep, how it actually affects your health. And I'm thinking about college students who go on like 2 to 3 hours of sleep.
Yes.
And we don't realize how bad it is or how it will affect us much later. I mean, I don't know. I think that part was the one that really struck me the most because I used to do that a lot when I was in school.
I think when you're young, you just think you're invincible. And then, you know, 2 to 3 hours of sleep is completely fine as long as you get that assignment done.
Exactly. And I mean, it just never occurs to us like, oh, the headaches, oh, it's normal, go away. But I think we realize now that we shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And something that she said earlier, you know, about how if you get less sleep, you know, you're more prone to accidents. And I think she also, I mean, there's all sorts of accidents, right, that she was talking about. And I remember just last week, actually, I only managed to get 3 hours of sleep thanks to the child. And I nearly got into an accident twice. It was really bad because straight from that, I had to come to work. And, you know, it was just bad. It was just lack of concentration. There was a lack of concentration. I was exhausted. And it's just bad news when you do things like that.
Yeah. And I noticed that the older we get, like you mentioned, the less tolerance we have for that lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. It's so different from how you were when you were younger. Exactly. Can't function anymore.
And then, I don't know, tell us how do you cope? You know, do you have enough sleep? Are you guilty of any of those things? You know, you can always keep that conversation going. And how are we doing on our Twitter poll?
Yep. So on Twitter, we're asking you how many hours of sleep do you get in a night? And majority of you have still voted 5 to 7 hours at 65%. And then the next is followed by 19% with less than 5 hours. And then 14% with 7 to 9 hours. And 2% of you voted more than 10 hours.
Okay. Which one are you guys? Which one do you guys fall?
I fall under 5 to 7, I think.
Right, I think me too, actually.
For me, yeah, on a lucky day, it's 5. It's never 7, but on a lucky day, it will be 5 hours if all goes well in the universe. But you can, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, just remember to get a good night's sleep. I've read, I can't tell you how many articles I've read before this about how getting more than 6 hours of sleep is bad for you, how getting less than 6 hours of sleep is bad for you. There's all kinds of myths out there in the internet. Just remember to read the right one. And, you know, I think it's one of the easiest health precautions we can take for ourselves to have some sleep.
Yep. So, you know, you can keep the conversation going. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio, send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can follow us on Facebook. You can just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. That's all we have for today. But if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast on at BFM.my, on the BFM app, or you can tune in from Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, we have Sharmila Gunnison speaking to comedian Punchi Ho about his latest show called Creepy. And that's happening after the 3 p.m. news. For now, it's Sleepyhead by Passion Pit. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.